Hi everyone, and welcome to Intuitive Awakening. My name is Dina. Thank you so much for joining me today for this week's episode. This week I'm going to be talking about the Akashic Records, a very exciting topic, one that you have probably heard of to death if you've been studying everything related to metaphysics, but I thought it would be an interesting topic for us to focus on this week. So let's get started. What are the Akashic Records? And I should say that you might hear it referred to as the Akashic Records, but I do pronounce it Akasha. So these Akashic Records, they're simply referred to as the Book of Life. I think most of us are familiar with that term from Christianity. However, the Akashic Records are also referred to as the Cosmic Mind, or the Universal Mind, or even as the Eye of God. The Akashic Records contain energy that makes up everything in the universe, and this energy is regarded as the energy of love. This energy is referred to as Akasha, which is derived from the words Aka, which means storage place, and Sa, which means hidden or secret. The simplest translation of Akasha is an unseen space or storage place. The Akashic Records are the record of your soul's journey from the time you first arise from Source until you eventually return home. The Akashic energy holds all of your thoughts, your feelings, actions, and your deeds from each lifetime the Akashic field is part of and connected to the all, in everyone and in everything. You have your own masters, teachers, and beings of light that keep track of this information simply just for you. We can access these masters and teachers, and they will answer your personal questions about this life and the past lives which are affecting you today. We come here, we incarnate for multiple reasons. Some of these are that we're here to complete some sort of karma, fulfill our past life vows, or maybe to be with someone special and to support people who are part of our soul family. Also, I think a big reason, you know, for being here is to learn lessons and to grow your soul and to gain knowledge. And as we all know, knowledge comes from experience. At times in our lives, while we're here, we feel blocked or even constricted or disappointed in our life because we don't remember why we chose our families or situations. And the Akashic Records are available to help you learn information about these situations and to heal and clear that emotional pain. You can ask questions from the Akashic Records in relation to health, career, relationships, your life purpose, self-esteem and abundance. The list goes on and on. One thing that I did want to add here, because I think it's important, and I've been told this before by my guides many years ago, that when we're kind of going through these Akashic Records, we not only are able to ask those questions again related to our personal lives, our health, you know, our relationships, our purpose, and our, you know, our abundance, for lack of a better word, but we actually have the ability to download information regarding any imaginable topic and question, as long as the questions are self-focused and maybe open-ended. And I wanted to bring this up because I remember many years ago when my guides were talking to me about the Akashic Records as kind of being this repository of my past life. It's not just your own past lives, it is everything. I would say it's almost like a data set of everything that has ever been, every thought that has ever been thought, every idea, every belief system, every action, etc. It's there. And when my guides shared that information with me, I wondered whether or not I could access kind of the, I would say, database of any soul that had ever walked at least this earth and not the other world. And they said, yes, that is an option. However, they did warn me, like, when you begin to tap into something like that, you know, keep your protective shield up and discern of the spirits, because there are a lot of mischievous spirits who will misguide you. Because I was really interested in seeing through other people's eyes, trying to understand their experiences, understand why they made the decisions that they made. And I mean, not just people in my lives, but people in history, major historical figures that I look up to and respect. I always wonder, you know, how they, let's say, for example, wrote a certain book, how they kind of gained access to creativity, how they, you know, gained access to create a specific song, etc. I just wanted to know what that was like. And that information can actually be downloaded. But again, there's a lot of protection that is needed and a lot of discernment that is needed. So how can we gain access to the Akashic Records? The Akashic Records, they are understood as being hidden, but they really can be accessed at any time by anyone. Often, we unknowingly access these records on a daily basis. Whenever you have a flash of intuition or a hunch, you are receiving a glimpse into the divine wisdom contained within the Akashic Records. The records can be accessed through intuition, through prayer, and of course, the number one way, meditation. The best way to gain self-access is to open up your intuition and your inner guidance intentionally. This is the ultimate way to gain access to what the Akashic Records are trying to provide the universe, the positive and loving energy of the records themselves. So what can really be gained through these Akashic Records? If you seek simple information such as, for example, what was I like in my past life, then you will be met with a myriad of information from the Akashic Records. There are many past lives from which to choose, so it's important to remember that the information we receive may not always be the exact guidance we expected. If you are open to accepting your problems for what they are and are fully in tune with what you would like to understand, then you could possibly receive information about relationships, your health, your soul path, and every other conceivable topic regarding your life. During your Akashic Records reading, you will also experience, I would hope, the full spectrum of the records' energy of love, which will leave you with a hopeful feeling as well as a profound empowerment through knowing the truth of your situation and the possibilities unfolding in your life. I did want to mention here that knowledge of the Akashic Records, it's been around for a long time. Many different religions refer to them, but with other names, and many spiritual traditions refer to them, but with their own spin. Shamans, witches, and many other traditions have their own connection to the records, and every religion has its own version of the records. And again, the knowledge of these Akashic Records has been around and can be found really to have been accessed by ancient people of various cultures, including the Moors, Tibetans, people of the Himalaya, the Chaldeans, the Greeks, Hebrews, of course, Christians, Druids, Mayans, Egyptians, Persians, many. Nostradamus claimed to have gained access to the Akasha using methods derived from Greek oracles, also derived from Sufi mysticism and even the Kabbalah. So, you know, all of these ancient people have been accessing these records for quite a long time and have been knowledgeable about them for quite some time. But let's kind of move into the modern era here and talk about a person who I believe really brought forth knowledge of the Akasha to the modern world. The first Western person mentioning the records was a woman by the name of Helena Blavatsky, who lived from 1831 to 1891. And she mentioned them in her Theosophical Doctrines. And if you've ever studied Theosophy, there are a ton of books on it. I think the whole doctrine maybe is at least 8 books long, if I'm correct here. There's a lot of really interesting information in those books, and I actually do recommend you take a peek if you ever have time to do so. But Blavatsky, she claimed to have spent an intensive period of study with Tibetan monks and called the records simply Akasha. Theosophy defines Akasha as the primordial substance that includes all the vital force, her words. Despite this, only in the early 20th century, pioneers in metaphysical studies like Alice Bailey, Manly P. Hall, and Annie Besant introduced the term Akashic Records for the first time. Now I want to move on to an individual who is super important to not just the metaphysical community, but I feel like has contributed to the world at large with all of his many readings, all of his, all of the books that have been written about him or compiled based off of all of the readings that he's given. His name is Edgar Cayce. And for those of you who are unfamiliar with him, I strongly suggest that you take some time out to find some of his books and read them. He was known as the Sleeping Prophet. I've read a few of his books, and very powerful, very insightful, and of course, I'm envious of his gifts and his ability to access all this information. I thought he was a very interesting, very loving, very giving, and a very religious man, believe it or not. So let's go ahead and talk about him, because he was really a master at reading the Akashic Records. Now, Edgar Cayce, who has been called the most documented psychic of all time, as well as a 20th century mystic, he helped thousands of people through the use of his remarkable intuitive ability. For over 40 years, Cayce gave readings, or what we could call psychic dissertations, using the Akashic Records as his primary resource material. Cayce's essential talent was his ability to access and describe information from these records, information which would enable a person to discover everything from their essential purpose in life to the root cause of a long-standing problem. It was a resource of information which Edgar Cayce claimed is available to everyone. And if you do go through a lot of his materials, you'll see that, number one, you might feel a little bit conflicted when it comes to what you're reading, because some of it I don't know if I fully believe, I don't know if I'm fully there, but then again, I'm almost at the mindset now that the more I study, the more I read, the more I know that I don't know anything at all. So anything is actually virtually possible. The one thing I did want to mention here about Edgar Cayce was that he was super famous, but he wasn't somebody like a Miss Cleo, if you know what I'm talking about, with a 1-888 number, of course, during that time. Even the president went to him to get answers, so he was very well known. But one of the things about Edgar Cayce that I always thought was interesting was that he never took money from people, ever. However, it did put his family in a really tough position. They were very poor and they at least needed donations. Okay, I digress. I was having this conversation with someone the other day. So I wanted to quote Cayce when it comes to the Akashic Records. So he says, when there is a thought or the activity of the body in any particular environment, this very activity makes for the impressions upon the soul. As to the records made by such an activity, these are written upon what is known as time or space. So in an effort to describe how this was feasible, Cayce stated that it was not only possible for individuals to attune to the Akashic Records, but that it was something that occurred frequently. Although the records were not physical in nature, an individual in attunement could hear, read, and even experience the information nonetheless. In order to illustrate what an individual might perceive while viewing this information, Cayce told an 18-year-old girl that the Akashic Records of the mental world might be compared to a movie theater of the physical world. This movie could be replayed in an effort to understand what had occurred in an individual's experience in any period, at any time, or while in any place in history. Also, within this data was a record of lessons learned, opportunities lost, faults acquired, and experiences gained. In addition, although an individual's actions could be misinterpreted or misconstrued in the physical world, the Akashic Records maintained an objective record of a person's real life because it reported his or her true intent, and that's super important. So in 1934, while giving a reading to a 28-year-old freight agent, Casey tried to define these records even further. Not only did he discuss what the Akashic records were, but he explained how they were written and clarified how an individual could gain access to the information. Apparently, any type of endeavor, whether action, thought, desire, or deed, creates some kind of activity, a vibration. Again, today in this community, we use the word vibration very, you know, all the time. We're all familiar with it. We know exactly what it means, what it implies. But just think about in the 1930s, again, having that knowledge that everything vibrates, etc. So he says this vibration produces a mark upon what he calls the skein of space and time and is somehow permanently identified with the individual responsible. Although it's unseen, it is an etheric energy that is as evident to a sensitive as the printed words is to a sighted person. Complicating our ability to understand and work with these records, however, Casey explained to his wife, whose name was Gertrude, in a reading that it was very possible for anyone attempting to read the records, someone who was a psychic or a sensitive individual, it was really possible for them to misinterpret the information. Apparently, perceiving the Akashic database is unavoidably shaded by the mental experience and the background of the person reading the information, unless their intent is totally selfless and desirous of being of help. So in other words, two individuals could acquire very different interpretations from the very same records because of their own belief systems, because of their backgrounds, their own experiences, and their own personal motives. During the course of a reading given to a 38-year-old physician, the subjective nature of the Akashic records was explained as follows, and I'm going to quote Casey here. Hence, the interpretations of these may vary somewhat dependent upon what phases the approach is made. In the same manner that in the material experiences entities viewing an event or happening are prompted to give their version according to the reaction upon their ideal and upon those promptings of the purpose of the individual so viewing the same. The same person was told that every experience encountered in an individual's life could leave a good or bad impression upon the Akashic records. Apparently, each occurrence in life has the capacity to be a constructive or a destructive influence based upon what a person does with that experience. Different choices will leave very different impressions upon the records. And I think that's a really important point to make, that everything is imprinted upon these records. I have read other texts from other teachers who say that that's not true, that it's only the good deeds, that it's only comprised of the energy of love, but I think that's a very delusional perspective. All actions are, there's something that can be learned from all actions and from all experiences, the quote-unquote good and the quote-unquote bad. So I think I'm more aligned with that philosophy when it comes to the records. So what's the real purpose, I guess we can ask, of the Akashic records? Since these records are so complete, so accurate, and so individualized, a logical question might be just what is the purpose of these records in the first place? Simply put, the answer has to do with keeping track of and assisting with each soul's personal growth and transformation. However, in order to adequately discuss and understand Casey's perception of these records, one needs to possess an adequate background in what has been termed the Casey cosmology. Essentially, that cosmology might be simply summed up in this following statement. God is essentially love, and the universe is completely orderly. Beyond that concept is the premise that each individual was purposefully created as a soul to become a companion with the Creator. Confirming scripture, according to, you know, Casey's readings, we were created in God's image, and therefore, our natural state is spirit. Life did not begin at the moment of physical birth. Rather, there was an existence in spirit prior to physicality. God gave to each soul complete freedom of choice and the opportunity to find expression, to find themselves, so to speak. because souls were created in God's image, it would only be through a process of personal experiences, one choice leading to another, and then another, and then another, that God's companions could gain their own individuality, truly being a part of him or her, and yet individuals in their own right. Once they had discovered their own individuality, they would once again return in consciousness to be God's companions and co-creators. So from Casey's perspective, although we're currently having a physical experience, our bodies are simply a temporal home. Just as a car is, you know, discarded when the owner no longer finds it useful, so too are our bodies set aside when they have completed their function. We are not physical bodies with souls, but rather we are spiritual beings who happen to be having a physical existence. If this is true, and we are fundamentally spiritual beings, then we might ask, of course, the question that we all ask, so what are we doing here? The answer proposed by the Casey information is that we are essentially gathering experiences, which is what I have actually heard from the angels myself so many times, and I'll tell you a side story about that in a minute. So according to the readings, the soul, basically creative in nature, keep that part in your mind because that's what my story is about, longs to find self-expression. In fact, the essential question repeatedly posed by the soul might be, who am I? This question is addressed in infinite ways as each soul chooses specific experiences to meet itself. The soul gains firsthand knowledge not only about its own identity, but also learns how choices made lead to certain experiences. In time, soul experiences and acquired knowledge will lead to what we call today wisdom. Inevitably, wisdom will lead to compassion, and eventually love will be the end result. At this point, the soul will know its individual identity as well as its true relationship with God. The soul will have come to understand that its primary essence and God's essence are one and the same, which is the essence of love. Now, the one little story I'm going to tell you here is many years ago when I finally learned how to tap into the records, it didn't look like, well, I can't say it didn't look. When I tapped into the records, because there were multiple ways, as Edgar Casey said himself, some people see, some people hear the information, and I guess other people can sense the data as well, which I have not been able to do, but I was able to hear the information. And when I would tap in, sometimes my guides would give me information, but it was usually the angels would come forth and tell me of my past incarnations here on the earth. And I was shocked to learn that I did a lot of horrible things. I guess, you know, given the history of this planet, it shouldn't really be that shocking. I mean, for most of us, during, I would say, probably our first incarnations here, it was definitely that survival of the fittest mentality. We were led more by that, our egos, right? Self-preservation as opposed to love. So I guess it's not so ridiculous to think, or it's not so shocking to know, that a lot of us have committed a ton of atrocities that are extremely unimaginable. Let's just say that. I'm still shocked by some of the crap that I did. But what I was wanting to tell you guys was that many years ago, my mother had asked me to read her records and ask why she was here this lifetime. And it was, I'll never forget this, because I could tell that the angels were like, are you still asking this question? My God. And when I was tapping in to her records, I was writing everything that I was hearing. And when I got to the question, well, why is she here today? What is she here to learn, etc.? And I could hear like an exasperated sigh from the three angels who were standing to my right. And they said, she is here just like everybody else to create, create, create. Exclamation point. And they yelled it at me. And I remember looking up And I was, you know, thinking, oh my God, I'm so sorry. And I think they were thinking, have you not gotten that through your skull after 800 readings? But as Edgar Cayce said, that the soul, which is basically creative in nature, longs to find self-expression, which means we long to create. We understand ourselves through our creations. And again, some of those creations can be deemed negative experiences, right? Because we create our experiences for the most part, not everything, but a good portion of it. Or they can be positive experiences and we learn that way. But there's no such thing as knowing without experiencing. And that is the prime reason as to why we are here. I wanted to reiterate one more thing from Edgar Cayce, just because I think it warrants mention here. And it's that the Akashic Records, again, according to him, which is the Book of Life, it can be equated to the universe's supercomputer system. It is this system that acts as the central storehouse of all information for every individual who has ever lived upon the earth. And I think it's important to mention here that I don't think it's just specific to the earth. I think it's specific to everything. It involves all worlds, our actions and deeds and thoughts that we've ever had at any world that we've ever visited at all. So I think here in our physical incarnation, we probably have only limited reach into our Akashic Records at the extent that it's limited to the earth plane. However, if we incarnate into other planets, if you will, or any other dimension, then we can probably access those records if need be or if we desire to. With that said, I wanted to mention something here about the idea of parallel universes that exist side by side. And here's kind of the question that I have. So if we know that there are, you know, parallel dimensions or universes, if we want to call them that are coexisting, and each dimension or universe is a reflection of the route that we didn't take, the action that we didn't take, but we could have, then I wonder if that is part of the Akashic Records itself. So let's say, for example, I got engaged to a boyfriend and we became engaged and we were supposed to get married, and then I decided not to marry him in this lifetime, but I decided to marry him in a coexisting life, if you will, in a different dimension. So my question is, are those records also available? And I think we've all had dreams where we were in circumstances that were complete opposite of our circumstances today, and maybe even in those dreams we're wondering, what the hell's going on? This isn't right. I didn't marry that person. I left him or her. I didn't take that job. I quit that job. I've had those dreams many times where I'm standing there wondering, why am I still with you? I broke up with you. I don't want to be here. This is ridiculous. What's going on? A completely upside down world, if you will. And I do wonder if that information is also readily available or if we only get to see that upon crossing over. Now, I wanted to add one more piece here, because there are many books on the Akashic Records, but I do like going specifically to everything related to Edgar Cayce. However, there is an author of a very informative book, and her name is Linda Howe, and the book is called How to Read the Akashic Records. But I just wanted to give you her perception and definition of the Akashic Records. So she says, Akashic Records offer empowerment and transformation by lending us exactly the wisdom, guidance, and energetic support that we need in this lifetime. For centuries, the records, or the energetic archive of souls' past, present, and future possibilities, were the exclusive domain of mystics, saints, and scholars. No longer. The collective consciousness of the human race has been growing, evolving, and maturing. This spiritual independence is marked by individuals who know that they have direct access to their spiritual source and who cultivate the sacred relationship. What stood out to me in this definition or this description of the Akashic Records is that it's an energetic archive of even the soul's future possibilities. And I think what she, I'm assuming, what she kind of means by that is what your possibilities are in a certain situation, given that you're continuing on the same route, or given if you go left versus right, etc. I do 100% believe in free will. I do think that there are major life events that we cannot control, but I do think that we do have quite a bit of free will, you guys. Lastly, I wanted to add here a little tidbit on how you can go about accessing your own Akashic records. There are many online courses. There are so many teachers who I believe can guide you through appropriately. I do also personally believe that you have to be, your heart has to really be open. I think that there has to be a strong desire to get some sort of present day understanding. At least that's been my experience. I do take many of my students back to access their Akashic records to help them move forward and deal with problems that have been recurring since their youth. And it usually does provide a lot of insight. But if you want to know how can I, you know, take the next steps to doing this, to be perfectly honest with you, meditation, what nobody likes to hear, but deep meditation, it usually takes very focused and very deep meditation to the point where you really feel like you're in another world. I have done this a few times myself, and I have seen various incarnations of myself and have seen my sisters come as different people, but I knew who they were, talk to me, and they were very profound experiences. And I feel very blessed I've been able to do that, but I know that anybody can do it. I'm not special here. But if you want to know for yourself, well, how can I begin going about, you know, accessing this information? How can I find the root cause of a problem that's been bothering or that I've been having throughout my entire life? I do recommend going into a deep meditative state. I do recommend a guided meditation that takes you back. But getting you into that relaxed state mentally, physically is key. And I mean, you need to feel so relaxed that you are kind of on the border of sleeping, but not really, but still being conscious. But your body needs to be relaxed, and you need to go deeper, back. So if you want to take this trip into, you know, your past lives or into your records, definitely work with your guides, your spiritual team, to help guide you to the right teacher and the right meditation so that you can dig deeper into your past lives. And I do know that everybody has this available to them. And I guess the very last thing that I'm going to say here is, why now? Why are we able to access this information now? As I stated earlier, this information, it seemed to be very contained within these religious, spiritual, even, you know, Tibetan, sometimes Christian, Mayan, Greek, whatever communities, like mystics and sages, were the only ones who had the ability, if you will, or at least it was believed at the time that they were the only people who had the ability to access all of this type of information. If so, then why now, through, you know, this time, these past, I would even say 10 years, really, because there's been an explosion of information in the New Age community. I know a lot of people hate the word New Age, but I'm still using it, so it is what it is. But why? What has shifted? Why are we now opening up? And from what I have read, and then from what I've been told, is that we are gently shifting into a fifth dimensional consciousness, that the planet is shifting, it is transitioning. And with that shift, a lot of us are quote unquote waking up to this information, to all of this knowledge, to having the access to this knowledge, that we are no longer quote unquote limited to all of this. But it is because it is time for a change. It is time for some sort of transition. As my guides have told me so many times, this is coming. Does this mean that the world is going to blow up and explode and it's the end of days? No, that's not what my guides have told me. They've told me that it is really a shift in thought, which is the one of the most important shifts is in thought and belief, is that the way we think currently with our ego mind will no longer be the primary way we think. There won't be so much credence given to the ego. Instead, it will be heart-based. And that will be part of this so-called fifth dimensional consciousness that we're all supposed to be moving into. Some will, some won't. Anyway, you guys, thank you so much for listening today. I hope this has been helpful, especially during even this crazy time. If you're interested in reading anything, I do recommend all books by Edgar Cayce, any book by Helena Blavatsky or Annie Besant. Everybody, have a wonderful weekend. At least try to stay safe indoors and find some good books. And let's continue to uplift each other. Have a good evening. Bye-bye.